a good home, yes we will. But listen at this.
It's K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you now, dear Master, giving you thanks. Thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us. From our earliest existence up until this present moment. Thank you, Master, for our lying down last night. Thank you for dispatching your guardian angels to watch over us as we slumbered and slept. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that allowed us to see a brand new day. Now, Lord, I ask for forgiveness now. Forgive me of the sins I've committed knowingly and those sins I've committed unknowingly. And let it not be a hindrance to your word. But I ask you, Father, that you anoint the words I speak today, that they fall upon spiritual ears, hearts, and minds of understanding. Hide me behind your cross. For behind your cross, there is victory. Behind the cross, there is power. Behind the cross, there is authority. And Lord, behind the cross, there is deliverance. And dear Master, we promise to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. First, giving honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to our honorees, Pastor Green and his lovely wife, to the officers and members of this great church, to friends and family who have come out to help celebrate this great man, to the pulpiteers that are here with me today and may be in the congregation, to Pastor Woods, who just came to say, I'm here to support you, to Nazareth members who sacrificed Sunday school just to come and be with their pastor, and to my lovely wife who set me up. I started to slip out the back door. There's just some things you can't live up to. But I promise to give you my best. It's not my intention to keep you long. I want to use today a portion of scripture from Psalms 23. And the fourth verse. And I just want to use a portion of the fourth verse. Psalms 23 and 4. And the scripture reads, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and those who are obedient to his word. I want to use for a thought this morning, one that I kind of laughed at because it took me back. But I want to use for a thought this morning, just keep on. Now, I don't want you to be confused, and I know I'm talking to the older generation in here, for when we would hear the word, just keep on, that really didn't mean for you to continue to do what you was doing. But what it really meant, if you keep on doing it, we gonna have some things to discuss a little later on. I don't mean that keep on. But what I do mean is what the word says. Brother Pastor, just keep on. The 23rd Psalms is one of the most, if not the most, familiar passages in the Bible. I believe it's possibly the most quoted passage passage in its entirety in the Bible. Not only that, I believe it's one of the most utilized passages of scriptures in God's word. I remember as a little boy in a small town by the name of Derry, Louisiana. I would go down, matter of fact, I spent a lot of time with my grandmother. Grandmother practically raised me. And I love to call her name because it keeps her spirit alive in me. My grandmother's name was an unusual name, one that you would probably never hear in today's society. For her name was Phyllisie Cereal. Phyllisie, every night we would go to bed, we would, in the summertime, we would raise up the windows and turn on the attic fan and climb underneath her homemade quilts. And she would, before she would read her newspaper, she would reach over to her nightstand just beyond the roofing hammer. My grandmother kept a hammer by her bed because she didn't carry a gun. And she would reach over and grab her Bible. And grandmother always read a passage of scripture before she went to bed. As a matter of fact, I believe she told me before she died, she had read through the entire Bible 2, maybe 3 times. But before we would close our eyes, she would make me repeat the 23rd Psalm. It would come a time where Grandmama didn't have to read it or have me respond to what she said, because every night we would go over the 23rd Psalms. When I was growing up, I thought the 23rd Psalms was basically used when people died, because that was the scripture I always remembered preachers either reciting or reading. As I began to grow older, I learned that it was a scripture that they used before people died. It was a scripture used to give comforting words. But now that I've grown up a little bit, and I look at the 23rd Psalm, I really realize what it truly is. It's David's testimony. It's David's testimony about the goodness of God. Does anybody in this house this morning have a testimony about how good? Look like I heard somebody say he woke you up. And grandmama used to say, start at your own, yo. This was a personal testimony. Well, Baptiste, why you know this was a personal testimony? Well, if you go down and filter out some of the words, you will find that David utilized pronouns. It's a matter of fact, personal pronouns. For he used me, my, I, and mine. That made it personal. But let me tell you how genius David was. And David was a genius because when he wrote these words, we find that he was not a selfish man. For he wrote them so that when my time came, I could put my own name inside of the 23rd Psalm. And when I insert my name inside of the 23rd Psalm, it don't read the Lord is David's shepherd. And he shall not want, but I can stand and say the Lord is mine. Anybody got a personal testimony in this place?
David fixed it where I could insert my own name. I can use me, my, and I about me. It's my testimony. It's just not his. David made it personal. But not only did he make it personal, he made us aware of the benefits of allowing God not only to be our Lord, but to be our shepherd. And when you travel down through the verses in Psalms 23, David really paints a picture of peace and tranquility. Verse 1, he says, I shall not want. That means I won't for nothing. Verse 2, he says, he maketh me to lie down, and he leadeth me beside. Verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. And then he backdoors and said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. David paints a beautiful picture of peace and tranquility. But then David gets real with the believer. Because when you become saved, that does not mean that your life will be a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, once you confess Jesus Christ, I want you to know today that you got a target on your chest. And Satan has decided that he will never leave you alone. Well, how do you know that? Because when he gets down to the fourth verse, David says, yea, though. You might have a lot of peace in your life right now, but David says, yea, though. You might have a fat bank account right now, but David says, yea, though. Your husband or your wife or your significant other might not be fussing right now, but yay, though. The appliances in your homes right now might be running like a sewing machine, but David says, yay, though. Your car might be running like a brand new car, no matter what year it is. But David says, yay, 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 no. Old saints used to say, you're either going into a storm or you're coming out of a storm. And David says, yay, no. And as I turn my attention to your pastor, and I want you to know this, that even your pastor has some yay-dos in his life. I know you see all the glitz and the glamour. I know you see all the pretty fine suits that he get on days like this. I know you see the fine cufflings that he gets his seamstress to cut his sleeves short just enough so you can see his fine cufflings and his fine bracelet. But I want you to know today that David says, yay! Pastors have yay those in their lives. Just like members have yay those, pastors have yay those in their lives. David says, yay though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death. Now, if you don't mind, There's four things I want to point out in the first part of that verse, but if you don't mind, let me work in the reverse order. First, David says in reverse order, he mentions death. Now, death symbolizes sorrow. And sorrow is the opposite of joy. And the Bible says that this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Let me remind you another scripture that says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Brother Pastor, hold on to your joy. And if I take a step back from death, he speaks of shadows. Brother Pastor, shadows don't cast shadows. Oh, let me say that again. Shadows don't cast shadows, but only tangible things cast shadows. And if I look back to Genesis, the first chapter, God says that everything that he made was good. That tells me there's nothing wrong with the valley itself. So what's wrong with the valleys? When I define what tangible is people. Tangible is places. And tangible is things. So what's the problem in the valley? It's not the valley itself. But it's the people in the valley, it's the places in the valley, and it's the things that's found in the valley. Don't worry about your shadows, but focus on those things that cast shadows. If I take another step back from death, then shadows, David speaks of valleys. Three things you need to know about valleys. First, you can't escape them. Psalms 37 and 23 says that the steps of a good man are ordered. That means every now and then, God places an order for your valleys. And I know y'all are biblical scholars in here, so I only ask you to go back and ask Job by yourself to testify. The second thing about valleys is it allows you to find out who you are in the midst of your valley. Some people put it, it's like being in hot water. I like what Dr. Frank Roy, how he used the example. He said, if you give me three pots of boiling water and put three different things in it, you'll get three different results. If I drop an egg in the first pot, I end up with a hard-boiled egg. If I drop some vegetables in the second pot, my vegetables will become soft. But if I drop some coffee in the third pot, the aroma would fill the room. Let me tell you how Christian folks are. When some folk find themselves in hot water, they become hard-hearted. They become nasty and mean and just treat you any kind of way. They begin to be unruly even in the house of the Lord. And then there are people who find themselves in hot water, they get soft. All they do is whine and complain, go in somebody's corner and sing the blues all day long. All they want to do is find, talk about what's not good, about what's going on in the church, and talk about the pastor like a dog. But when they see him, they're smiling in his face. And then there are some folk, like coffee. That when they find themselves in hot water, their flavor fills the room. Those are the ones that get it up saying, when I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And it get good to them. They start saying, I'm satisfied with Jesus. And then finish it up to say, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down. If I take one more step back. David says, walk through. Walk through, brother pastor, means you won't ever have to be concerned with getting a parking ticket. Because you won't be in the valley too long. Songwriter says, trouble don't last always. No matter what your issue is, my first point to you this morning is just keep on walking. Then David, after he discussed the trials and tribulations that will come up in a member or members and pastor's lives, he began to discuss what choice that we must make. For David says, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadows of death, I shall fear no evil. That's a choice. And brother pastor, I have not been in this business as long as you, but it is one thing that I do know, that you cannot pastor with fear. You cannot preach with fear. You cannot teach with fear. You cannot counsel with fear. And Lord have mercy, you cannot rebuke with fear. There are many times when we have to speak to our flock. And we have to oftentimes tell them when they're wrong. And you can't be fearful when you're standing on the word of the Lord. It's a matter of fact, it's your job to tell them whether they like it or not. Because one of these days, you're going to be held responsible. Where there's fear, you don't find faith. Where there's faith, you don't find fear. Fear and faith can't rest in the same heart. You have to be one or the other. And I tabulated a phrase that I found in Isaiah 40 and 10. For Isaiah 40 and 10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Well, if you look up and count how many times fear not is found in the Bible, you will find that it's been in the Bible 365 times. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Well, when I match how many days are in a year, I see 365 days in a year. Well, what does that mean? That means I got 365 fear nots every day of the year, 7 days of the week. If I use my fear not today, I got one at my disposal on tomorrow. Oh, y'all ain't talking to me. Yeah, David says, I shall fear not. My second point to you this morning is keep the faith. I'm almost through now. I realized that that old boy just let me preach because he felt sorry for me. So I ain't gonna keep you long. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley and